Take a walk through Seoul's 500 years of ghastly murders, forbidden history, and hidden scandals. Listen to tales of Korea's deepest, darkest secrets. What lies under the concrete? Or who? The Dark Side of Seoul Ghost Walk at darksideofseoul.com. Book now, if you dare.
And welcome to the Dark Side of Seoul podcast. This is Joe.
This is Sean.
I think it's about time to get our visas renewed, isn't it, Sean?
Already did it. I'm good for another 10 years.
Yeah, I'm good.
You got to go soon.
It's not a renewal of the visa. I just have to send them an updated picture of my beautiful face and show them I'm not a vampire.
Updated photo. That's what do you mean?
That's what they do. That's what I have. My thing is every 10 years you have to update your photo. You get a new ARC. You get a new alien registration card. I'm not renewing.
Right, which renews the visa. That's yeah, what it is. You have to go through the whole process. I just did it.
You just fill out a form and send them. You give them your picture.
You have to show your passport. You have to make a an appointment. You have to go through the whole. I mean, you don't have to show
or anything. I just turn in my stuff and get it done.
Did you have to be interviewed before?
Not really.
Yeah, I wasn't interviewed when I got my permanent residency.
All right, we're both permanent residents, so we don't really have to deal with a lot of the stuff anymore that a lot of people have to deal with.
And they just a few years ago, announced that permanent residents have to renew the visa, permanent residency visa, every 10 years.
Well,
but it's
renew
harmless.
Your picture. Renew your picture.
It's listed as a renewal of the visa.
Okay, I'll reread it because I've been reading it a lot. Okay, whatever stuff I got.
When you fill in the document, you have to check renewal of sojourn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard and it's really harmless. It doesn't. It was much easier than the first time. We had to show money and shit.
Oh yeah, I just had to show that I made a Korean. She was squirming in my arms.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. Now my story was this.
My daughter Hyun was born when I got mine.
I was renewing my F2, mm-hmm. and EJ was with me and helping me with communication and stuff. And Gian was really just squirming and everything. And I said, could you just ask him what we need to do the F5? And so she says, okay, what do you have to do to get an F5? And he's just looking at Gian squirming my arms. He goes, you can do it now if you want.
Same thing.
This guy's staying here for a while, it looks like.
When I went in for the F5, Hyun wasn't there, but they told me before. I think they told me over the phone because I had to call to see. I was like, I had to call for something to see about renewing the F2 visa, and then the agent said, or the officer said on the phone, they're like, yeah, why are you doing the F2 again? Just do your F5.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it was. I think he kind of suggested it too, or something happened, but it was kind of like the attention was going there to renew my F2 and upgrade to F5. And EJ was looking at me, do you want to upgrade? I'm like, yeah.
I mean, yeah. And immigration promotes it as the best visa for foreigners to have.
It is by far. It is the gold visa, the diamond club member.
Yeah. I mean, you have more freedoms. You're less restrictions.
You can vote in local elections, which I've done.
Vote in local elections. Essentially, you have almost every right that a citizen has. It's just one step below being a citizen.
On paper, you do. Because in reality, you know, so, try to get a bank loan, you know.
Yeah. We're going to chat a bit, though, because immigration is not always fun.
No. And before people come out, well, America too, we know that.
we're not making comparison. Yeah, this is not the dark side of Washington, D.C. Yeah. So
we know American immigration sucks too, but we're talking about Korea right now.
Yeah, yeah. Don't come at us. We're just, it's not what we do in this place. Anyway, so I think generally one thing I'd say probably about Korean immigration at the airport, if you're just passive, if you're coming to visit.
Oh yeah.
It's fine.
It's much easier than it used to be. I mean, it was fine in the beginning when I first started coming here, but it's smooth.
You're smooth. Like if you're arriving from a country that doesn't require a visa, and several right. countries don't require visas, just coming on a passport,
yeah.
You'll arrive and then they're like, same standard questions. What are you here for? How long do you plan to stay? Where are you staying? Enjoy your stay. And then that's it.
My Filipino friends have trouble with the visa. They have to actually apply for a visa.
Yeah, they need to visit. So you probably had a fairly painless experience if you were just traveling to Korea with immigration. But it's when you live and work here, that immigration especially can become problematic, a bit of a pain, a torment, and other things too.
It's worse than the DMV.
Mm. Getting your driver's license. So the way I look at it is if you've ever applied for a visa to Korea, if you ever needed to renew a visa, you wanted to change to a new visa, except your experience. If you've changed jobs, if you're an English teacher here, for example, if you change the company, change the hagwon, or a bunch of other things, you very likely had some sort of hardship of some degree, or torment, or even just a minor nuisance that doesn't really seem to make sense.
Right.
So, but a lot of people have far worse experiences, and we'll get into that.
I mean, whatever I complain about, I'm still aware that I'm talking from a vantage point of privilege.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. So just basically some of the very simple hassles, the basic ones that are well known that you could have with immigration offices and the officers, is that the immigration website, even the new ones, like the Ministry of Justice website, the Ministry of Justice operates the immigration in Korea. Their website, so the one for immigration specifically, is called Hi Korea. Hi Korea. Famously has wrong information on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or infamously.
You can never go to the immigration office and say, well, your website says this, because they don't give a shit
what the website says. And that's the next thing it's going to say. They will not admit that they're wrong.
Mm.
And there's a lot of examples of that coming up as well. They just want, if they are wrong, if you're pointing out like the website's wrong, they won't say, oh, sorry, that's a mistake on the website. They'll say, no, it doesn't. You read it wrong. And I've heard that. Not from me personally, from being heard other people being told, oh, no, you must have misread it.
But I thought I came here for an argument. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. I don't know what you're talking about. But another big problem is that sometimes the officers don't know stuff either.
Oh, no.
They don't know the laws.
No.
I just recently, I just said I went into to get the new card, and it's not called an ARC anymore. That's all changed too.
They're not called
ARCs anymore.
What are they called?
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
they removed alien.
Oh yeah, that was a thing, because alien was a problematic word.
I think they're just RCs. I think they're just residents for international resident card. I can't remember.
That makes sense.
There's somebody screaming at the podcast right now, saying the answer. I'll check it out
right now. Yeah. I've been that person screaming at the podcast at the ignorant host. Yes, I've been that person many times.
Okay. But I think you and I have been here for so long. I think, dude, that ARC is kind of It's what the card's always been called. And so I think in my head, it's going to be, I guess I'll get used to it, but it's not something I really concern myself with. But I think I'll probably still call it an RC, an ARC for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just get away from the habit. But anyway, so the officers just don't often know answers, know things. So when I went in to get my new card and everything, like I was just saying, I could do every 10 years. I went in, put all the documentation down, my passport, my old card, the document that I had to fill out, and my new photo, which you just take your photo at the immigration offices.
Oh, you can. I already got my photos taken at a place.
Yeah. Because at the immigration office, they're expensive and like manon.
Well, I just want to make sure that I look right for my photo. It's an idea I'm stuck with for another 10 years. I want it to be like, the way I want it to look.
I do not give a shit about the photo on my card. I do not care. Yeah, I don't care. I've seen them at, like, getting away from my story quickly, but I've seen that some people get their photos photoshopped and the government accepts them.
They always do it. Yeah.
That's
automatically doing that to me. Yeah.
That's bizarre. It's weird because when you get it done at the booth at the immigration office, there's no Photoshop. It's just a photo machine.
Yeah.
So I always have just done it there. I go in, I don't make any other special stop to get my photo taken. I go and just get it done there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I went in and put all the documentation down, and, the officer was looking at my stuff,
mm-hmm.
and she kind of leaned back and she called another officer over, and I could kind of hear her say, "What is, I don't understand. He's a permanent resident. Why is he here?" And the other one said, "Oh no, they have to do it again every 10 years. And she's like, "Oh, okay." And then she's kept up for it. She just didn't say anything to me. And then she went on the computer, typed everything in.
Yeah.
And then she said, do you want, she said, "I assume you want this just mailed to you so you don't have to come back in." I was like, "Yeah, please. I'd like to have it mailed." She said, "Okay, you have to go over there, the other side of the office to go pay. And they give you a receipt that you bring back." So I went over, 5,500 won, mm-hmm. way overpriced. Paid the money, gave the address and everything, then got the receipt, went back, sat down. She processed it.
Did you have to take a number again?
No. You have to do a reservation now anyway. You cannot go in.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just walk in. You have to make a reservation online beforehand. Okay. You have to. If you just show up, you're not going to get it. They won't accept you.
Okay.
Which is good. That makes things go much faster than they used to.
Okay.
And so I went and sat back down. She processed everything. And then I was leaving. She's like, "Okay, that's it." I was like, "Okay, thanks." And then I stood up to leave. Uh-oh. And she's like, "Oh, wait." I was like, "Yeah." She's like, she goes, "Oh, you owe me 30,000 won. I was like, "Oh, yes, the processing fee." She completely forgot to ask me the processing fee when I was getting up to leave. She's like, "Oh, wait, sorry. You owe me 30,000 won.
Well, okay, that's not bad. Okay. I thought she was going to say, "No, you have to get this paper, this document."
Fair. But it was all done. That was a Friday. And I said, "Okay, and you have to pay in cash. It's another thing. You have to pay in cash. They won't accept card. You can't pay at the booth where you paid for the posting of your card. You have to give it directly to the officer."
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So then I said, "Okay, are we done?" She's like, "Yep, that's it." And I said, "Okay, thank you." Left. That was a Friday. Had a good weekend. And then Monday afternoon, I get a message from immigration saying, this is how it was worded, "You didn't give us your fingerprints on Friday."
Oh no.
And I remember reading it, like, "No, you didn't ask me to give you my fingerprints on Friday. Don't twist it. Don't push off your own mistake.
Competence. Yeah.
Your incompetence." Right. And so I had to go back in on Tuesday, just walk in. Didn't the message said to, I didn't have to make another reservation. It said, just come in and go to there's a booth that's marked zero. And that's where you can go without a reservation. If you're told to come in without having to make a reservation, you just go to the zero booth. And if there's no one there, you can sit down. So I sat down, showed the message. She's like, okay. And then took my...
Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it?
No, didn't say anything. No, I don't think she knew. Like I was... I don't think she knew that anything that I was, you know. So anyway, so I went in and I went, gave my fingerprints and everything, and then that was done. Yeah. So hopefully it's all done, but it's been 2 weeks now. So
well, thank you for telling me this so that I'll remember to remind them to get my fingerprints done.
Well, yeah. And see if they don't, when you're about to leave, if they haven't asked you, don't I have to give you my fingerprints?
That's what I'm planning to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when she says no, and I'm like, okay, can you just write down and say, I don't have to do it? No, I have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I got to talk to your manager. I got a little Karen on them.
Yeah. Now it does say very specifically on the website that you do have to give your fingerprints again.
Yeah.
So, cause they have my fingerprints, but
I've given the government my fingerprints so many times.
Yeah. You have to do it when you enter the country now at the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's what I did when I came back in 2018 and everything. Yeah. It was all, I just gave my fingerprints. So anyway, so that's my most recent experience, and not nothing that was really, really harsh, but something that really indicates much of the incompetence that's running through Korean immigration.
Yeah. Our joke was, the rule always changes depending on who you talk to, when you talk to them, and what they have for lunch. So I when I was working for my friend's hog one years ago, oh my God. I mean I left the place in 2010, so it's a long time ago. But he's a Canadian, and his woes with immigration all the time. And that was our joke all the time. Every time I tell him to deal with our visas was always, it always changed. It depended, and he always says, like, it depends on the person. He knew the person to talk to. He's like, oh no, it's that one. It's that person. Oh no. Oh, they're going to.
Right.
He's like, oh, I got the good one. I got the good one. Okay. Anytime we try to process our paperwork.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. That was a pain. So anyway, but yeah. So just basically officers and agents. Now, I mean, immigration officers and then Ministry of Justice agents, I guess. So, and which, and they both work in the same place. You can, when you go to an immigration office, you'll see an investigation unit. Those are agents. I'm pretty sure a lot of them are agents that do crackdowns and stuff like that. Yeah, so anyway, like these people, they're infamously rude. They're threatening. They're racist. They're aggressive. And they're just continuously accused of abusing their authority. And they've been receiving a lot of bad press in the past 2 or 3 years, more so than in the past. And this is mostly due to recent immigration raids.
I guess because immigration raids, and I guess because Korea's been getting a lot of bad flack for its refugee, not accepting as many refugees as other developed countries.
I think that's part of it. I'll talk a little bit about that as well, just slightly.
For the records, everyone, I'm not looking at the show notes tonight because Sean wants me to be raw tonight.
Going raw.
Raw reactions. I am your plate of sashimi.
So the Yoon government launched. So the current, if people don't know, the current government, the current president is Yoon Suk-yeol, and his government has launched big crackdowns on undocumented migrants, but there have been consistent human rights infringements in these crackdowns, and some of them are pretty bad. Now, just some background before I go into all these. The Ministry of Justice, which again is who controls the immigration in Korea, they, by law, their guidelines prohibit abusive language, discrimination against non-Koreans, aggressive behavior when enforcing immigration laws. So keep all of that in mind when I'm sharing these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And another thing to remember too, and to be fair, undocumented migrants in Korea are allowed to report themselves. If they report themselves, they are apparently supposed to be just cleanly and effectively deported from the country.
Right.
I don't know too much about that, but that's still something. If you go into an immigration office today, you'll see the banner that says, you can do that. And it's in a couple of different languages. Mm-hmm. So now going back to 2020 in February, early part of the year, a man from Africa, now his country wasn't disclosed. It's never been disclosed. Not as far as I've been able to tell. It hasn't been disclosed. He arrived at Incheon Airport and he sought to apply for refugee status. So, and his claim, his reason for wanting to apply for the status was political prosecution in his home country,
mm-hmm.
which is one
persecution, right?
Yes, persecution, right. Yeah. So political persecution in his home country, which is one of the accepted reasons for applying for refugee status in most countries, including Korea. but like you were just saying, you just talked about refugees. Korea is infamously anti-refugee, very xenophobic, very much so, which is really ironic because there were a lot of refugees during the Korean War and a lot of people who would have loved to have had the ability to apply for refugee status in other countries, but they were too poor to do so. So this irony isn't lost in anyone with a reasonable, rational, humane view of things like this. So the man arrived, applied for immigration status, refugee status at Incheon Airport. Incheon immigration didn't allow him to file for the status because he was technically in transfer. So he had a ticket that was going somewhere else. So he was technically in transfer and therefore was not allowed to stay in Korea. That was their argument. That was their logic. They said, you're in transfer. You don't have a visa to come into Korea. So therefore you cannot stay in Korea. Even you can't even apply for refugee status. The man, therefore, was forced to stay in the transfer section of Incheon Airport for 423 days.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually, after 423 days, the Incheon District Court found that Incheon Immigration Office's actions were unlawful. They broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
The court stated that immigration should have allowed the man to apply for refugee status under the Refugee Act. And directly, the court stated, and this is a translation of a quote from the court, he may not have had permission to enter the country, but the Ministry of Justice restricted his bodily freedom under no legal grounds, which amounts to illegal detention.
That is true. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That makes a lot of logic.
Yeah. And so then all that, because like I said, it was 423 days. It was well over a year later. And it was 2021. So unfortunately, I didn't hear an update on this, a result of what his refugee status result was. My guess, however, is he was rejected. Because most people are rejected when they apply for status in Korea.
Yeah.
So, and it's I think that's a bit fucked up. I mean, because Korea does really, really want to be a global leader on the world stage, but they don't want
image,
the
image. Doesn't want to. Yeah. It wants the image, but doesn't want to do the reality. Doesn't want to do the work to have that status.
Right. I mean, allowing refugees is part of having that global stage presence.
No, this is a, you know, you talk about the cosmetic surgery capital of the world. Everything's about the image of something, not you know. I'd say like, we'll put a fresh coat of paint on a condemned building.
We'll return to the podcast after this message.
In our first comic, we explored ghastly Korean folktales while walking the streets of Seoul. This time, we are ambling the Korean highlands with terror tales set in those storied landscapes. Welcome to the dark side of Seoul, weird tales from Korean lore, Mountains of the Macabre.
Right. So this kind of, and we'll get into more examples, but this does highlight Korea's xenophobia problem. Korea can be deeply racist and fear the other.
Mm-hmm.
Have deep fear of the other. So
especially those that are lower in the perceived hierarchy.
Oh no, yes, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, in 2015, this is a bit off topic, and we'll move on to the next story just after this. But in 2015, I think, pretty sure it was 2015, a survey showed that 32% of Koreans said they do not want to have foreigners as a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
The same survey showed that in the United States, only 14% didn't want foreigners as neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So racism is a huge social issue here. And it's
America too. Oh, sorry. 14%.
So it really, and China was even lower than lower than that. Something only like 12%.
Yeah.
They disliked the idea of foreigners. Start
backtracking and making excuses like, well, there's a history of being invaded and
nonsense
and all that. And like, yeah.
Nonsense. The idea of all that just doesn't fly, because you can pick so many other countries that were invaded
way more. That's one reason I'm doing the Fall of Joe's Son and some of the other historical stuff to kind of point out, not been invaded, not nearly as bad as other countries. One reason that English is the way it is that the British Isles were invaded so much that the language had to change, because most of the invaders were adults learning English as a second language. So they got rid of all the English used to have genders and a very complicated verb system that to put the verb at the end of the sentence, like German, and got rid of all that. If you notice, all the other Romance languages have genders. Die, der, das in German, and something like, you know, that. English, we just have the and a. Yeah. Mm. Because that's one of the reasons, is people that were, England was invaded so many times, it was all adult learners learning it as a second language. They just said, simplify this bullshit. We don't have time for this.
Right.
Korea doesn't have that. Korea is not simplified. Korea is still a little complicated. Because it's not been as invaded as other countries have been.
Mm. So this is kind of a route to a lot of the problems that we're going to continually highlight on the episode. So in other words, so move ahead to 2022. So the Ministry of Justice, in their immigration offices and in their headquarters and investigation units and whatnot in the airport, they have restraints for detainees, you know, there's handcuffs and things, just common stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, in 2021, a undocumented Moroccan was hogtied by Korean immigration. Hogtied. So if anyone's not really sure what that means, it means he was placed on his stomach. His arms were put behind his back.
Mm.
His knees were bent, and he was forced to kind of, you know, grab his ankles, and then they tied his limbs together.
Oh, gosh.
so that he was hogtied and left on the floor. So there are these other restraints and things like that as well that have started to face a lot of criticism because they're very cruel and they're really inhumane and unnecessary.
So
in one of the restraint systems are chairs, restraining chairs that restrain all four limbs and the neck. These are undocumented and the neck. Yeah. These are undocumented detainees, migrant workers. They're not murderers.
They're not, Black Widow either.
Despite what the xenophobia likes to say, that, you know, these people cause more crime and stuff, which is absolute bullshit. Doing this type of thing to a person is completely inhumane. So to make it worse, there is no specific regulation on the length of time that these detainees can be kept in the restraints. They can be kept for a day, a full 24-hour period in restraints. So there's no specific regulation to prevent that. So it's the system is being deemed inhumane, and it's worse than the restraints that are used in prisons. And this was highlighted by a human rights attorney named Ehan J. So according to the enforcement rule on the Act on the Administration and Treatment of Correctional Institutional Inmates, there are regulations that limit the use of restraining chairs for inmates, for prisons, but there is no similar regulation for immigration, for detainees. It's shocking.
Yeah.
Lots of criticism from the public. They called these types of things, a lot of organizations have called the ministry's regulations legalized torture. And one particular organization that is fighting against all this is called Joint Action Committee on Incidents of Torture at Immigration Detention Centers.
There's actually a committee for that.
Yes, specifically for that. Doesn't roll off the tongue either, but specifically for that. Yes. So that's an indication of how poorly undocumented immigrants or migrant workers mostly are treated.
Yeah, they only vaguely touched on that at the beginning of Squid Game.
Oh, yeah. I slightly remember that. Yeah. So go ahead to last year, 2023. All these crackdowns started to just be deemed indiscriminate, and they were useless. I'll get more into that in a little bit. But there were a few really unfortunate examples of these types of things that happened in 2023. So in April last year in Assen, an undocumented man from Nepal was caught by immigration. He had previously had a visa, an E9, which allows for labor on places like farms and things like that. But his visa had expired and he continued working on an expired visa. So essentially working without a visa. He got caught, and during the arrest, his shoulder was dislocated.
Mm-hmm.
So now he required medical treatment. If anyone's ever dislocated anything, it hurts. You need to have medical treatment. So even though he needed medical assistance and treatment, the immigration officers instead threw him in detention and denied him medical treatment. So after all night in detention, begging the officers to take him to see a doctor, they finally took him to the hospital the next day. The doctor that met this man said, "This has become so serious, he needs surgery. This arm needs surgery." Immigration refused. They refused to allow the man to have surgery. They deported him the following day. But he still had a hospital bill because he met with the doctor. He had all the, you know, the tests and whatnot. Of course, this was a hospital bill because he didn't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The bill was just over 1 million won. So about,
oh my God, what,
about 800 US dollars.
Right? Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
But since the man was deported, the bill was left standing and the immigration office gave that bill to another Nepali man that they arrested in the same raid and forced him to pay for it.
Oh my God.
Shocking.
I can't even know comparison for that. What is that?
I know. It's the kind of situation you laugh because you know it's so shockingly wrong.
That's like Three Stooges shit.
It's awful. It's so cruel and inhumane. So when the man was back in Nepal, I'm not sure if hopefully he had to fly from Seoul to Kathmandu, which there are no direct flights. He probably had to transfer in Bangkok. Hopefully they didn't make him fly all the way to Qatar and transfer. Hopefully it was just the Bangkok transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And then fly to Kathmandu. So he was in the air for at least 7-8 hours and however long he was in transit.
Mm-hmm.
Transferring.
Mm-hmm.
He had to fly with a shoulder that was dislocated. And so hopefully that all got treated pretty quickly and there was no long-term impact. But when he made it back home to Nepal, he made an official complaint to the National Human Rights Commission of Korea,
mm-hmm.
Claiming aggressive arrest leading to injury, refusal to allow doctor-recommended surgery, and forcing another detainee to pay for the bill. Now, as far as I know, this is still being discussed. This is still, because this was in April last year. These things probably don't take very long. Of course, immigration is going to deny any wrongdoing. Even though, remember, everything they did is against their own guidelines. So I imagine that this is still ongoing today. Now, go to November 2023, just a couple months ago, in Gyeongju. The Justice Ministry, Immigration, conducted a raid at a factory. They're looking for migrant workers, illegal workers, undocumented workers. A male officer put an undocumented female worker in a chokehold. They then pulled her out of the factory and brought her to a bus. Another worker at the factory was filming, I guess, on his phone. The video cuts just as another officer appears to help the violent officer pull the woman onto the bus, because the officer that appears sees the man filming and you can hear him say, yeah, I just see. And then it cuts.
Yeah.
So my assumption is that he was forcing him to turn the camera off. All of this is on YouTube. This is on YouTube. We can put the link to the video on there. But of course, the video comes in a bit late when the officer is restraining the woman in a chokehold. So now, one other thing to point out about ministry regulations when they're enforcing the law, when they're doing raids, is that female officers have to be on site to handle female undocumented workers.
Right.
There were female workers there that day, but a female worker did not handle this undocumented woman. And she was choked and violently, you know, just aggressively pulled to the bus. So these are just a couple of things that happened just recently in the last, you know, less than a year. So all of this, you know, increased indiscriminate crackdowns on undocumented workers is harming Korea in a few different ways. So things are, people, experts are pointing out how this is actually a harm to the Korean economy. And this is something that people have been debating and arguing very rationally for years, because most undocumented workers are doing labor that most young Koreans do not ever want to do.
Right.
And they're ridiculed for doing it.
And young Koreans aren't even taking even white collar jobs or even restaurant jobs because, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going on darn, but I, it's not just me saying this. Koreans have been saying this too, mm-hmm. is the phenomenon in Korea of young adults living with their parents. They don't have the pressure of having to pay rent, of paying mm-hmm. for themselves. So they don't, it's not, they're always complaining about there are no jobs, and it's, no, they don't have the job that they feel they deserve. Jobs are there, but the jobs they feel they deserve are not there. And so they're waiting for the job they deserve.
Right. A Korean economist told me that a long time ago, 2010 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he told me that there are plenty of jobs in Korea, just not plenty of jobs that everyone wants.
And just think if all these incels, sorry, I said the word incels, but anyway, all these people got kicked out of their house and had to move out on their own and had to get these jobs just to pay their rent. Think about the downward pressure that would pay on this inflated housing market.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not, don't know too much about that, but I mean,
I'm an economist. No, I'm not.
But I mean, I've never read much on it.
Like, I say these weird things because I say these like things. Then I turn out actually I was kind of right. That's the weird thing. So I might be right.
Well, I mean, years ago, I remember people were saying things like this, but there's now specific research that proves it as well. So now the jobs very specifically that these migrant workers are doing, the jobs that most young Koreans just don't want to do, are in agriculture, factories, mm-hmm. and fisheries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These are the three dangerous, the 3D jobs. And the industry specifically, agriculture, factories, and fisheries. Now, according to a report that's called Current Status of Unregistered Foreign Workers in the Agricultural Sector and Tasks for Improvement, and this comes from the Korea Rural Economic Institute, 91% of Korean farmers who employ workers employ undocumented workers.
That sounds like America. I mean, Atlanta, you go to any shopping center parking lot and it's day laborers out there just waiting to be doing some landscaping work or working in a field somewhere. And some guy goes by in a pickup truck. And I knew guys that actually own landscaping businesses. Sorry, going back in there, landscaping businesses, and said, yeah, that's my whole business model is I just go down to the shopping center and I just pick up some migrant work, undocumented workers to do my work for me.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And similar thing happened in Jeju in 2018. You remember when all the Yemeni refugees were coming to Jeju? Because Seoul, Moon Jae-in's government, the pseudo-liberal government, was not too keen on allowing them in and limited their access to Korea. They found the loophole that they could go to Jeju without visas. So they ended up just arriving in Jeju, and they apply for refugee status on Jeju-do. Mm-hmm. And what they were doing is that they were getting jobs with fishermen who couldn't hire young Koreans. And I remember reading interviews and the old Korean fishermen were like, I need help. I'm getting old. I work a lot. And I just can't find any young locals to help me. They do not want to work on a boat. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They're just not interested. Mm-hmm. And he said, so these young men from Yemen are here. They're already in, they're studying Korean and they're great workers. He said, they're great. They're fantastic. And he said, they're living with me. My wife and I gave them a tent in the backyard until they can get set up.
Mm-hmm.
So, or something like that. But that was what was going on at the time in Jeju-do, and it's still happening today. So these undocumented workers, they're not undocumented because they necessarily choose to be. I think that's the biggest,
right?
That's the biggest misconception that xenophobes, racists, and people who are just not concerned about human rights take away from the issue. These are things that they don't realize. These people would like to have more documentation. The government doesn't necessarily make it easy. And there's two things. The Korean population is dropping. Immigration is going to fix this. It's the only way it's going to get fixed. And there are entire industries that Koreans themselves, young Koreans, just do not want to work in, but the migrants are absolutely fine to work in them.
We used to say
lighten the laws.
I used to be producer for this talk show back in the States, and we used to say, we don't really have an illegal immigration problem. We have an illegal employer problem.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And a shitty view from a lot of people who are on the outside looking in.
Blame the people with the least power.
Yeah. Sitting on the subway, reading stories of this happening while wearing a suit on their 800,000 won Samsung phone. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, that's cheap. Oh, come on.
Are they more expensive than that?
I spent around $1 million on my last one.
Fucking hell.
All right.
Oof, okay. Anyway, another thing that this may impact, another impact this may have on Korea is that it can harm the squeaky clean K-pop image.
Yeah. Image.
And that's, yeah, and it's already happening.
Every time you threaten the image, that's how you talk to Korea. That's how you get it.
Yeah. So the methods of these crackdowns, the indiscriminate methods, and the aggression, the racism, the things that are against the guidelines and policies of the Ministry of Justice and the immigration offices themselves is leading to some countries to call for boycotts on travel to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Thailand. There has been a fairly large concern with people from Thailand and the Thai government, mm-hmm, and the Thai consulate in Seoul, mm-hmm, regarding issues like this.
Wow. Okay. That's so, calling the kettle black in that case, but okay.
Well, I mean, I suppose, but
the human trafficking problems in Thailand, I've really,
right. Right.
Okay.
So this has become such an issue between the governments that the two governments have met. The Thai ambassador and a foreign minister, I'm not sure exactly who it was, met with, they both met to discuss this particular issue. So a lot of people bring up plans for immigration, Korea's immigration plan. I think Korea's immigration plan is that they don't have a plan. They just don't have one. Their plan is strict rule of law. That's their immigration plan. Strict rule of law. And you need to have law, of course. You need to have law. You have to try to prevent people who are actually going to harm your society in your country from entering the country and bringing that harm. But these people are not doing this. They have difficulty in places. They have difficulty getting the visas in Korea, keeping the visas, renewing the visas, that they're just essentially forced because of their lot in life to stay. And I think any type of idea or statement against them just amounts to racism, and a deep misunderstanding and a lack of compassion for what these people are looking for, which is just opportunity. So in Korea, if Korea is a place where these people know the immigration can be risky like this, but they're still coming here, taking that risk anyway, that means there's an appeal here. So why doesn't the Korean government, the Ministry of Justice, and the Immigration Office take better steps, more logical, more rational, intelligent, compassionate steps?
I get slammed every time I start making fun of Korea for the logic part. But yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah. To make this whole situation better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, so those are some of the things that were in the press just in the past few years. So now, yeah, we put a call out for people to send in their experiences with immigration, and we got a ton. We got so many that I can't share them all. And some of them were quite long. I had to edit them for length. So just so we can keep time, I didn't edit any specific content.
I'm discussing podcast stuff live, but maybe put some of them on our website.
I mean, yeah, I we will do something with it.
Permission for that. Yeah.
Oh, we have. Yes. When people sent it, they knew it was going to be shared. Okay, some people didn't give their real names.
Okay, well, we could post. We could just get with me, Sean. I'll see if I can post them all on the website.
Okay, sounds good. So let's go through them. So again, thanks to everyone who sent stuff in. And sorry if your experience is not going to be featured here. Like I said, we just got so many that it just wasn't practical to be able to share them all.
These contest entries. It's all wow.
Yeah. Okay. So this first one is from David. It dates back to February 1987 in Daegu. And David said, I've had many bad experiences, but this stands out as the worst. I brought along my Korean girlfriend to help with translation. And the officer, who was male, maybe 40 years old, was giving me an unusually hard time. Then he asked me, with no context, so which bar does this girl work at? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he was provoking me, trying to get me to punch him or some such, so that he could deny my new visa and deport me. I did not take the bait, recognizing the trap, kept my cool. She maintained stunned silence. I responded something like, no, actually, she's a university student. And we went back to the petty problems with how I had filled out my form. In the end, I did get the visa.
Mm-hmm.
So showing now, at least in the past, immigration officers in Korea were willing to insult their own people just to give foreigners a hard time at immigration. Shocking. It's
awful. Oh, my goodness.
Terrible.
All right.
Terrible. Okay. Okay. This one's from Janice, and Janice's experience happened in January 1996 in Daegu. Janice said, I needed to get a Moultrie entry visa because I was planning on traveling to a few places in the next year. I had a male Korean friend with me to help with translation and filling out the forms. Mm-hmm. And as she points out too, that in those days there was no English at all. The forms were in Korean. Right. And now the forms are in at least three languages, I think. The immigration officer had a sour look on his face and said something rude to my friend about being with a foreign woman. My friend defended me, which the officer didn't like, and he angrily suggested that he and my friend go outside and fight.
What?
Fist fight. Luckily, the situation cooled, and I ended up getting my visa.
The immigration officer wanted to go outside and fight?
Fight the Korean guy who is helping this foreign woman get her visa.
Oh, my gosh, man.
So the opposite of what David's experience was 9 years before. So, yeah. So, so then she continues, I didn't actually know what was going on at the time. My friend told me all about it later. He said that Daegu tempers can be fiery.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a big deal.
Daegu has that reputation, yes.
Yeah. It ended up being kind of funny, if really unprofessional. And after that, I was never too surprised by strange and quirky stuff in Korea. So, okay. That's interesting.
Oh, my.
Okay. So go ahead to, let's see. I want to keep these in order. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead to March 2021. This is from Scuba Steve. And this happened in Busan. Steve actually gave a several long ones, but sorry, Steve, Scuba Steve, I'm not able to share them all. I'm going to share this one. So Steve said, in 2021, during the pandemic, I had my list of things necessary and never had a problem before. I simply get the stuff on the list and then go to my appointment. So keeping in mind that you have to make an appointment with immigration,
right?
You have to make an appointment, a reservation. You're not allowed to just show up and fill out a form and then ask for service. They won't do it anymore. This time, same story. I go in and give the paperwork into the officer at the desk, at which point they ask me for my TB test.
Oh, tuberculosis. Right.
So when I asked, what TB test? The officer gestures at a piece of paper on their divider window, which states that from April of 2020, all African nationals need to provide a TB test. At this point, I had not been home since January 2020 due to the pandemic. So he'd been in Korea the entire time.
But African people magically get TB wherever they go. You know?
Right. But
be sarcastic. But, don't quote me on this.
Yeah, no sound bites there, please. But I then say, well, I did a TB scan for my contract renewal. So I guess Scuba Steve had to do it for his renewal of his contract at his job, where he works at a school. My school, and he says, and my school could send the results to the immigration office. So the officer calls my school. And they have a chat, and it comes out that the test I did for my school was invalid, as I did it at the, in quotes, wrong hospital.
Oh, no.
A hospital I was referred to by my very first school in 2018.
Contacting hospitals.
What is a wrong hospital? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's just the bubble test. They put the little air bubble under your skin.
There's something weird about that. There's something there that's got to be money.
Someone's not getting their pay.
That's what's going on. The person who owns that hospital, and hospitals are owned by people in Korea. There are hospitals that are owned. I have a doctor friend who explained this to me before, a Korean doctor. Probably is friends with the head of immigration in Busan or something like that. Mm-hmm. So Scuba Steve continues. So I had to redo the test and have my school send the results through to immigration, which I did, thinking it would be a blood test or something. Nope. Same old chest x-ray.
Oh, it's so a chest x-ray. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was an inconvenience and an annoyance, because the point that I tried to make to the officer was that I had been stuck in South Korea, and the only place I could have picked up tuberculosis in that time was South Korea.
That was part of the Corona craziness we've documented in the past.
This pandemic or not, this would still be. They'd still do the same thing. Don't care. This is where there's a problem. What they say, like their immigration plan is strict rule of law. This is when you can't bend the law. Even when the law doesn't make sense, they won't bend it. They won't say, "Oh, okay, then that's fine." They just won't do it. It's absolute nonsense. Mm. Drives me nuts.
And Koreans pure, foreigners dirty. Yeah.
Okay, move on to Juliet, who had an experience in September 2023 at Nambu, the Nambu immigration office in southern Seoul, right?
Yeah.
Seoul southern office.
Yep. Gangnam around Gangnam, I think. Yeah.
Right. When I moved Hagwon's and apartment, they, immigration, said I could tell them all the information in one appointment instead of coming twice. So like coming once for the move, for the change of a job, change of a job location, and the change of accommodation location, yeah. A change of address.
Yeah.
So immigration, so I'll repeat it. When I moved my Hagwon, so her job, her Juliet's where she worked, the school where she worked, private academy,
yeah,
and her apartment, immigration said I could tell them all the information in one appointment instead of coming twice. I asked if there was a deadline for either, and the officer on the phone said no, not if it's combined. Okay, so if you put them together, there is no deadline for either. This isn't true, which I now know, as I needed to do both within 2 weeks.
Yes.
Of moving and starting the contract.
I think it's 10 days, but okay, 2 weeks, she says. Okay.
Which were different dates. For your address, it's definitely 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had to pay 100,000 won fine, and they refused to accept this mistake. Had been made by them. They refused to accept their mistake.
Yeah, they gave the wrong info. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, my story is very
similar
me.
To that one.
But yeah, I mean, we mentioned how they just won't, they just will not admit that they've made a mistake. They refuse. Mm. Okay. And let's just do one more. This is from Minsuk. And everyone hears Minsuk's name on, on our
Patreon, our
top list. Tier. Yes. So E Min Suk, old friend, old Korean buddy of mine, used to work at immigration. So when I was collecting all this stuff, I was like, dude, give me some stories. You got to know some stuff. But he gave three very long stories. So I'm not going to be able to share them.
Go
share them
to all the website. We'll post it.
We'll see about getting some more of these up in other places later. So Minsuk said that one of the immigration officers told me this story. There was this one male officer who had been fired for his misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
And Minsuk wants everyone to know that it's well known that it is a little bit difficult to get fired as a level 9 government employee in South Korea.
Yes.
So level 9 really is bad. Essentially, so level 9 is essentially the entry level of government workers. And then it goes down instead of goes down to like the bureaucrats
still,
and once, diplomats.
Once you're in as a government worker, that's why everyone wants these jobs. They're so secure. You can't get fired.
So you want everyone to know that. So these immigration officers, I guess, are at that time anyway, are level 9 government employees in South Korea. So the story goes as to how it happened. On a sweltering night one summer, this immigration officer was manning one of those entry inspection booths at a gate in Incheon Airport. There were hordes of people lining up. Note that this was way back in the day before machine-readable passports existed. So now, you know, it's really fast to scan passports. But back in the day, they had to be scanned like at the bottom of the passport and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even farther back, it all had to be, you know, done by hand or typed in by hand.
Mm-hmm.
So and Minsuk continues. So even a casual entry inspection for Korean nationals into Korea would take longer than nowadays. The queue was stacking up and getting longer. So naturally, the crowd was getting rowdy. Then, remember, this is Minsuk saying this, not me. Then the usual run-of-the-mill arsehole Ajashi starts yelling and screaming, "Why the fuck is the line not moving?" And he just kept unloading his soju smelling filthy words.
Now this is a passenger, not a
Not a worker.
Yeah, this is someone in the line. This is someone, a Korean, a national trying to come back, coming back into Korea.
Right.
And he just kept unloading his soju smelling filthy words to this male officer at the booth. This adashi kept going at him. Yeah, he kesekia bali harawo. So he had, you son of a bitch, hurry up.
Yeah.
So he started swearing at the officer.
Yeah.
The male officer just had enough. So what he did was stormed out from the booth, walked up to the filthy mouth drunk adashi, and boom, stamped the entry granted onto his forehead.
Awesome! That's a great story.
Like
that's
a branding.
That's
a
great story. That's like where I'm branding. On the immigration side. That's a great story.
Yeah. So he branded him, essentially, yelling back at him, here you go, you fucking arsehole. Entry granted. The one officer who told me this while giggling and basically not being able to hold his laughter said that this male officer had been let go but remained as the top legend in immigration.
Oh my God, what a legend. That's a legend.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you're going through immigration at the airport, just don't be a prick either. Just like if they're, when you're entering your own country, especially, you know you're going to be let in. You don't really have to deal with visas and passports. If it's a line, just settle it. It's okay. Yeah. Everyone's had a hard day. Don't worry about it. Deal with it.
Deal with it.
So, man. So there you go. So there's our there's
oh, some... I get to tell my story.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Because I was saying that mine was very similar to some of the other ones. So, my second year, on E2 visa. So people, we didn't explain that an E2 visa, if you don't know, is your basic English teaching visa. Most people come in to Korea on an E2 visa. Your employer owns your visa, unlike in Japan where you own your visa. So if you change employers, you have to if you want to change employers, you have to get a new visa. And but you have to be released from that employer to get it. You see how this is kind of an indentured servitude type of contract
situation. Which is also, sorry Joe, just to interject, which is also one of the reasons why a lot of the F series visas, like the permanent residency visa, is so sought after, because you own the visa.
Right.
There's, you have well, no.
If
you're
F2, your spouse owns your visa.
Well, I said permanent residency. F2 is not permanent residency.
F5 is permanent residency.
Yeah. F2 is the marriage visa. Yeah. These numbers may have changed recently too. I have no idea. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so I was in a situation where, I didn't like my job, my second job. I didn't like it. I didn't fit in well. So after like a month or so, we made an agreement to go. And then I went to, found this, I went and interviewed for this one job. My friend, they became my friend's hagwon, over in Anyang. He said, we did very well, but then he said, couldn't really, because this other guy really wanted to hire me. This other guy wants to come back, and I really needed to hire him. But I know this other school that's looking for someone. So I get with them, and they hired me right away, but they were kind of slow in getting my paperwork done. So I'd already been working for them a month before I actually got my visa to work for them, which I had to go to Japan, get the whole thing done and everything. So... anyway, my contract's up before my visa is finished the next year. And by then, I'm going to work for my friend's hagwon, the original one I wanted to work for. And I, you know, the contract's up, so I'm let go. But so I go over there and we call immigration and we tell them the situation. They say, well, we're working, the contract's over at the other hagwon. We want to get him legal for this hagwon. What do we need to do if he still has 1 month left on this other one's visa? And they said, wait it out. Immigration said, wait a month, wait till it expires and apply again. So we did what they said.
Yeah.
1 month later, we call and we said, so, okay, well, we waited it out. Now what do we do? And they go, oh, you overstayed your visa. You're in trouble.
Son of a bitch. This is why you have to record these conversations. This yeah. may be another recommendation. Get the name of the officer who you're speaking with as well.
Yeah. And then I had to, okay, we'll do that. And so they get to the airport. And of course, since I was in trouble every step of the way at the airport where I'm trying to leave to Japan to renew my visa, they were stopping me. They put me into the hold over at immigration to clear everything up.
And gravy.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on, guys. No one talks to anyone here. I'm supposed to leave the country to go do this. You guys said I can do this. Oh God! And so it took them forever to find out. Oh God! Yeah, that was my thing. That's my little story with immigration.
Yeah, just a pain, and it just goes back to highlight again how sometimes you just can't trust the information they give you because they're wrong sometimes. They're wrong.
Every time. Yeah, it's just
frustrating.
Anyway. Okay. Thank you for listening. You know what? In the comments, tell us your immigration horror stories. We might do if we get enough, we might just do another episode on this.
Maybe we can keep the ones that we have. We can do another, if we don't put them on the website, we can talk about them in a future episode or something.
But we can still talk about them. Even if I put them on the website, you know, this is,
yeah, okay.
Listen, they don't read.
Read? You insulting our listeners?
Yeah, you're assuming people have a lot more time on their hands. They're about to go to This American Life after this. Come on.
If people are in transit listening to a podcast, they can also read.
All right. Go to Guy Raz or okay. Anyway, so Dark Side of Soul podcast is produced by Joe McPherson and John Morrissey. Our opening and closing music is by Solexan, which you can find on Bandcamp. Bandcamp under Jeju Digital. We'd like to thank our top tier patrons. We have a new one, guys. We have a new one. We talked about last week, but it's a new one. Angel Earl, Joel Bonamini, Sharon Cullen, Devin Ivner, Gabby Palomino, Steve Marsh, Mitchie Brewer, Ron Chang, Mackenzie Moore, Hunter Winter, Cecilia Lufgren Dumas, Emily Umbau, Josephine Riedberg, David Weatherly, Janice Song, David Buchanan, and Edward Bradford. Thank you so much for joining us. We're having so much fun together. If you want to join our group, you can go on patreon.com/darksideofsoul. You support our show. You help pay the bills because it does cost money to produce a show. But we also give you a lot of extra content. We're not like other people that just say, just support us and we'll list your name. No, we actually give you stuff. So go there. It just starts at $5 a month. You know, just try it. Try it. See if you like it. You like it. If you don't, it's okay. We still love you. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay spooky.
Good night. God of the country.